Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a little fucking excited right now. I'm getting really jacked up because we're on the eve of another awesome NFL season. And that is my distraction of choice is NFL, pro NFL football. And I love it, and it keeps me distracted. It used to be pornography, but Morticia, my wife, fixed me of that, so. But, yeah, I'm definitely a football fan because, you know, everybody needs kind of a distraction from the crazy shit that's going on in this world, and it just gets overwhelming after a while just with all the depressing news. I mean, if you watch, Christ, I don't know how people watch Fox News. I mean, after a few hours, I want to just go suck on the end of a 12-gauge shotgun and just blow my head off. It's so depressing, and there's so much crap, and there's so much misinformation with that news site that it really is just it almost borders on comical at times, but a lot of it too is just so depressing. It's just you know, just with everything that's going on. I know there's a lot of depressing stuff going on. And if you want to call in, and our guest call-in number is 646-595-4686. My co-host, Old DB, is indisposed at the moment. I don't know if he's having problems with his phone service or whatever. He hasn't been able to call in, and, you know, who knows what could be happening with him right now, but he is not able, he is not able to get on online. So, old DB, if you're out there and you're not indisposed, try to call in and get on the show, and hopefully we can get going. There's no secret, old DB from the west side of Michigan, my partner, my cohort in crime, he definitely drives the show as far as topics, and he's really a genius as far as total recall of names and subjects, and he's a little more well-read than I am as far as current events, definitely, and my shortcomings, he covers up for my shortcomings, definitely, as far as doing this Blog Talk Radio show. But, you know, we have a good time.
Hey, quit praising on me, will you?
And it's all fun, and we have a good time talking about some serious shit on, you know, topics on here that are, you know, a lot of it, quite frankly, is pretty pretty morbid and depressing. I mean, you look at the state of the union as far as a lot of the stuff that's going around the country with the police state, growing police state, and some of the heavy-handed tactics by a lot of the police forces using that. Upon the citizens of the United States. And, there's some audio of the Ferguson, Missouri protests. But, yeah, you know, it's getting to the point now where it's really a lot of the Orwellian crazy fears that we had 20 years ago. I used to talk about this stuff. 20 years ago, I wrote songs about a lot of the stuff that's going on now. I played in a Christian heavy metal band, but as much as we had Christ-centered lyrical topics, we had a lot of end-time lyrical topics. And a lot of the end-time lyrical topics talked about growing the Orwellian nightmare type thing in America, surveillance, limited movement, you know, being stopped at checkpoints, having to be able to prove, you know, produce your papers, like in, you know, Nazi Germany. Well, all your papers, please. So stuff like that. You know, being pulled over for trivial stuff, you know, just ridiculous. The criminalization of basically everything, just, you know, minor drug offenses, you know, just the whole criminalization of just basically the poor and people that are without, you know, you don't have a lot of big money, you don't have big money for a lawyer in this country, and you get popped with, you know, anything, a significant amount of drugs or anything just for use, you know, you're in big trouble. It's getting, you know, it's a little better. I mean, they legalized marijuana in Washington and Colorado, and that's getting better. But on the show, Blisterfish and me and old DB, I'm Uncle Fester, by the way, is my handle I go by, and old DB, my co-host, we really push for the legalization, basically, of all drugs. I mean, just to the point where it's totally decriminalized. Maybe you'd get a fine if you were caught without a prescription for heroin or something and you had it, or whatever, but, you know, people aren't doing serious jail time for possession. I mean, it's kind of gotten to the point where that's really a controlling thing. And one of those elements of the Orwellian nightmare that we talked about and that I've been writing about for 20-plus years, and it's really, you know, kind of on the precipice right now looking down, and I just see it coming to fruition that a lot of this stuff is happening in our time. And I'm only in my mid-40s. And really, in the last 20 years, I mean, I talked about, I had a song where we talked about surveillance and spying and not being able to do anything without basically elements of the government knowing what you're doing and being, you know, and they've already proven, I mean, the Martin Luther King family sued the government for his assassination. They sued the government for wrongful death, a civil case, and they won. You know, they won a settlement for that they proved that the government was responsible for his death. So, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how or what was going on, but he was definitely being surveilled by the FBI, and a lot of stuff was weird with that and everything. So, I mean, even you're talking about, geez, what is that, 45 years ago? I mean, they were doing it. So it goes on today, and it's not shocking. And the people that deny it are really just basically ostriches with their head in the sand, and they don't want to know what's going on. Because, you know, it is kind of depressing to think that our governments, you know, could be that horrific and that controlling and that evil in a lot of aspects. And I say that, you know, kind of hypocritically, because just on Labor Day, I was at a barbecue, and our neighborhood president had a barbecue, and he invited us over, and they had the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, was there, along with our mayor and Jimmy Hoffa and a bunch of other local dignitaries and that, and we got to meet him. It was really cool, and he was a really nice guy, and got to take some pictures with him and talk with him for a while. It was just us and like 40 other people in this backyard for a nice barbecue. It was all catered, really nice, you know, and I'm sitting there, and the whole time I'm thinking, man, I would just love to be able to click on my audio recorder from my phone and just, you know, just interview him, you know, and ask him, why in the fuck are we funding, why in the fuck are we funding terrorists, you know, around the world? Why are we giving, why do we, you know, why do we, you know, disrupt, you know, sovereign governments and democratically elected constitutional, you know, governments that are in dissolve them through promoting terrorism, promoting rebels, and trying to, why do we do this? I kind of know why we do it, but I want to, yeah, I want to get his, you know, his Biden's thing, but my wife wouldn't let me do it. She just, you know, she put the kibosh on any questions, so I couldn't ask anything. I also wanted to ask, do you ever fantasize about choking John Boehner or punching Ted Cruz in the mouth? And I thought that would be kind of funny, you know, just, you know, see if he would secretly like to choke one of them guys out.
You certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
yep. But I know he wouldn't. I know he would never say anything, you know. But it's pretty much, you know, as far as the vice president position, I think that's pretty much just a, you know, unofficial ambassador to the feds. He's just kind of a cheerleader for the, you know, for the feds and for the executive branch. You know, he's basically just, I don't know how much, I mean, he was talking about that he worked a lot on the Hill and stuff with different, he worked trying to get Democrats and Republicans together on bills and stuff, but I don't know how much of that, you know, he really does or, you know, what he's really involved in, you know. But I got to admit, man, you know, I looked into his eyes and shook his hand, and he seemed like a really nice guy. And, you know, as much shit as I talk about, you know, anarchy and you know, and being against the system and fighting for our freedoms and our civil liberties and being against a lot of the stuff that brought in and Obama has continued with the NDAA and all that, as much as I talk about all that, when you meet them on a personal level and you just talk to them like that, I mean, they, at the end of the day, they seem like fairly normal. I don't know about Obama, but Joe Biden seemed like a totally normal guy to me. I mean, he just seemed like one of my uncles or something. So, you know, I don't know. He seemed like my uncle with like 12 Secret Service agents staring me down because I got two full sleeve tattoos and I had my sleeves rolled up and I was shaking his hand. Those guys were watching me like a hawk. Those guys were staring me down, the Secret Service agents. I know they were thinking this.
Hasta la vista, baby.
In case I hung on a little too long, I grabbed him and started screaming, 9/11 was an inside job. And I started grabbing him and tearing at his pants, groveling at his feet. They'd probably just zap me with some cattle prod or something to drag me off and kick the shit out of me. And then the next day I'd be in the local.
All right, it's George Lee.
Well, I don't know, guys. I can't. I don't know what's going on. We're. I haven't. My co-host, old DB, he's MIA, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on. We may be doing a solo show here. Hopefully, maybe I can get maybe Christ Crusher to call in or somebody, and that would be cool. But I don't know what's going on with old DB. He must
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Yeah, he must be on one hell of a bender, because I talked to him earlier and he's supposed to be on. But I know they have some problems sometimes out there with their internet and their phone and stuff, so who knows what's going on. But, you know, hopefully he can make it in and, you know, contribute to the show and keep everything going and have some topics that will be cool. Because, like, right now I'm just basically all I've got going on me is the ISIS it rolling through my mind and, you know, and that whole debacle with us being over there. That's the main thing that I've been going on. And then I always have the default of going back to, you know, the whole Christian thing and just talk about my my whole path through from a believer to atheist. And that's somewhat of an interesting story. I could go into that, but I kind of want to say that if I don't have to use it. But I don't know, guys. Call in 646-595-4686 if you want to call in and chat. We got, like I said, I could talk a little bit about football. This is, sometimes on the show we'll talk about stuff that's not related to religion or current events or whatever, political stuff. Sometimes I'll talk about, you know, music. We'll talk about music or, you know, one of us went to a concert and we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about, like, I like to talk about football. We had one football show, like, on the eve of the draft last spring. But that thing, the ratings were, it drew flies. So that's why I kind of try to stay away from the sports end of stuff, because we didn't really do real well on that show. I think it was our lowest rated show, lowest listened to show of all the shows we've done, which is about 20-something now.
Danger, danger.
But, yeah, like I said, NFL starts tomorrow night. We got my in-laws and my mom and all my aunts and everybody are diehard Packer fans. And they're huge Packer fans, and they got my in-laws, my wife's aunt, I think it's her godmother, basically. She, her and her uncle, they have season tickets to Lambeau Field, and we've been up there a few times. We were at the 0-16 Lions game in 2008, the infamous where they went 0-16 game. I'm a big Lions fan, but that was a depressing. It was cool to be there, but it was freezing cold and it was really depressing and everything. So I'm a lot more optimistic this year, 2014 season, than I was back then. So, and we're gonna end up going there the last game of the year this year to up to Lambeau. We got their tickets, so that's gonna be really fun. And but they're big Packer fans, and my mom's, like I said, a big Packer fan, and my aunt.
Oh, they're all thank you very much.
They're all from Wisconsin, and so they're huge Packer fans, and you know, they're into all the cheese heads and sausage and all that, and you know, beer and you know, Lambeau Field and that whole deal.
Fat,
and the whole
drunk, and stupid
other.
Is no way to go through life, sir.
Right, and they So we're always going back and forth about Packers and Lions and all that, and it's pretty fun. But the Lions have been so horrible for so long, it's really hard to argue with them because they've been a lot more successful and have won Super Bowls and stuff, while the Lions had a 10-year stretch in the Matt Millen years that was basically one of the most horrific segments of in a pro sports team's history. They had about a 10-year period where they were just, I mean, really beyond pathetic, so... They're actually coming back now and starting to look a lot better, and there's a lot of hope for this year, and getting pretty excited about it and playing fantasy football in two leagues and love both my teams, and it's all good, man. Hope I make a little money on that, and it's just a lot of fun, man. I love the NFL. I really like football in general, college football, big Michigan Wolverines fan, and but I'm definitely a bigger pro football fan. And I seem to know that better. And I am like a I am a wealth of useless football knowledge. I mean, I can just remember players' names and stats and stuff from 30 years ago, and stuff just sticks with me in my head. But now I can't remember anything really important that you really need to know, or if I go to college or whatever, learning stuff in a class, I can just do enough to pass a class, but I can't ever remember the stuff from, you know, years later or even months later. I can't remember anything, but, you know, football stuff just stays with me forever, you know, stats and who coached who and who played where and what positions, you know, how many Pro Bowl guys went through, all that shit. I just remember, I remember all that stuff, but for some reason, man, other stuff, book knowledge just does not stick with me.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
Yeah, maybe that's it right there. So, you know, it's definitely alcohol. Years of alcohol and drinking do not help with the memory, that's for sure. It's not good. So, yeah. But I don't know, man. What do you guys think about the whole ISIS thing? And not to jump around but on topics, but I just really don't know what to think about it. I mean, part of me, I just, you know, I see all these people talking online about, you know, we need to bomb the place or bomb them, you know, like SOD said, Billy Milano, the old hardcore thrash, punk thrash band, fuck the Middle East, there's too many problems, we can live without them, you know, just fucking make them a glass parking lot, fucking nuke them. You see a lot of people saying that, but, you know, that's not cool either because there's a lot of innocent people over there. But we got a caller just called in, so it looks like this may be Christ Crusher. So let's see if this is Christ Crusher.
You right.
Hello,
guys. Oh, is this Crusher?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, man?
Yeah, not so much, man. We're just right. Just trying to get some calls in here, get a little action, get a little liveness going on here because old DB is indisposed. He hasn't been able to make it on. I don't know if his phone is dead or he lost his service or whatever. So he's definitely indisposed. So.
Running solo tonight?
Yeah, running solo, man. Just kind of extended the monologue out, extended the intro song, played a few more drops, and just kind of yammered on him. I was talking a little bit. I even got into NFL football starting tomorrow night and stuff. So I'm just, trying to stall for time until somebody calls in and we get a topic going.
Oh, right, guys.
Yeah.
Right.
That was, you know, the whole ISIS thing. I heard a little bit when I called in, and I agree with you on, you know, not entirely bombing the place, you know, because of the innocent people there.
Right.
So I kind of half-heartedly joked around, you know, building the wall around Iraq and
right.
Evacuating all the women and children from the Middle East, and you know, like all religion, you know, I mean. Especially with Islam, you know, it's all male dominated. It's all to suit the man. You know?
Right.
You know,
most definitely, yeah.
Put them in there. You know, they. Go ahead.
No, I go ahead.
Yeah. It's just. I mean, what option? You know, are they really leaving anybody? You see that they're spreading, you know, over to the UK.
Right.
Pretty hard. You know, I talked to a guy from the, you know, a couple people, you know, over there, and, you know, they say it's not that bad. Oh, they're just catering to them, and, you know, they just got all these shops or however you pronounce it put up, you know, but they're also over there, you know, still preaching, you know, extreme hatred, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're now saying things like, oh, we're not going to stop until we, you know, put our flag up in the White House. You know, I mean, obviously that's not going to
happen
in America, but, you know, the U.K. has really been into these guys. And, you know, maybe over the next 10 years or so, you know, what's going to happen when they completely, you know, set up. You know, it's spreading out wider. You know, when it's spread out wider, they have more, they get more political pull. They get more pull in everything. They can, you know, set more things up to eventually maybe do a strike or something. I mean this is inevitably what's going to end up happening, because that's exactly what they're told to do, and they will, you know, sneak into anywhere and do what they have to do and lay low until they're able to pull off what the Quran wants them to do, and that's, you know, dominate as much as possible.
Right. Well, the problem I have with the whole thing is I have a real hard time of getting behind the whole kind of like the Hitchens, Christopher Hitchens kind of theory of being the flag waving, let's go in and win one for the Gipper, you know, let's wipe the Muslim extremists out and get them and everything. Because the problem I have with that is we've been using them for years to destabilize sovereign governments. To, you know, we funded them in Iran to overthrow Iran in the 50s. We've been doing it. We did it in Syria. We've been doing it all through history. We did it in Chile. We're doing this. We fund these rebel groups, these terrorist groups. We fund them. We give them all their weapons. We give them all their money. And then all of a sudden, when they get too big for their britches, and they got all this money, they got all these weapons that, you know, and all this stuff. Now all of a sudden they want us to get all fucking in an uproar and want to go over there and fight them. Well, fuck that, man. Fuck, that's a bunch of fucking bullshit. You know, we're the cause of most of that shit over there. Yeah, is it horrific that these guys are now over there beheading American reporters and stuff? Yeah, it's horrific. Well, for one thing, I wouldn't be over there. I mean, I don't care how much money they pay me. I don't care if they pay me $1 million a year. I'm not going to go over there and be a reporter. You know you're at risk. So anyways, you go over there, and now we're supposed to get an uproar because they had these two reporters. Well, fuck to me. I mean, it's our own fault. You know, I don't have a lot of sympathy. I that's why I can't get all in an uproar about it and say, let's go over there. And I see a lot of people on your thread that you had written about it. They were like, oh, we got to nuke them. Just fucking nuke them. That's all bullshit, you know. I mean, there's a lot of innocent people that don't have nothing to do with it, you know. And, you know, not everybody over there hates us. And even if they do, they probably have a right to for the shit we've done. I mean, we've killed more. If you ever watched that documentary, Dirty Wars, I talk about it constantly on here. I mean, that documentary on Dirty Wars, if that doesn't turn you against our policies, our foreign, especially in the Middle East, our policies on what we're doing over there, if that doesn't turn you against our government, I don't know what fucking will. And that documentary won a lot of awards, and it's very... The guy who made it is very highly thought of. This guy's not some like Alex Jones clown. He's a very good movie maker, very good documentary maker, you know. So I watched that movie and it changed my thinking a lot about what we do. You know, it really, more people in America need to watch that. You know, and now I'm not pro, don't even get me wrong, I am not pro Islam at all. I think it's a piece of shit religion. I think, you know, it was born out of Judaism and Christianity. So we are, you know, we're at fault for that too. I mean, it was the answer to the Crusades, you know, basically after we destroyed the, you know, basically the Middle East and overthrew everything, that was, you know, their answer to Catholicism at the time. And so I don't know,
there's definitely the personal responsibility, you know, for people that go over there, but there's also our responsibility. I mean, you're bringing up some really good points, but I mean, you have to take responsibility. I mean, would you agree that you know, we should clean up our mess? And, you know, if we were able to say right now, we'll go over there, clean up the mess, don't fund these motherfuckers anymore, and
right,
you know, let's fix the situation and stop funding these people to do our dirty work until they get, you know, built up to the caliber you say they're built up to be able to do these things. That I agree with. That needs to stop. I mean, that's...
Crusher, I don't think there is no fixing the situation. I think first, we want it to be fucked up. We want these countries... We don't want sovereign countries. We don't want countries with democratically elected, you know, prime ministers and stuff controlling oil. We want these countries to be all unstable, all crazy, where you could just go in and take stuff over. And you know, I think they want it like that. That's the sad thing. I mean, we talk about we want to bring democracy to these people, and we want, you know, I think that's bullshit. I don't think they really want democracy for people over there. I think they want chaos, and they want to be able to just go in and rob them of their natural resources. I think that's what it's all about. And, you know,
that's something else we need to fix, too. There's so many different ways to get, you know, to run our vehicles, to run energy, and, you know, the people that come up with these great ideas to do that end up getting bought out or, you know, not be on the theorists. But I think, you know, if they don't, they might wind up missing, you know, because these ideas would essentially shut down these billion-dollar oil tycoons that are in control of all this shit. I mean, we don't need dinosaur bones to run our fucking cars. We don't.
Well, that's what... Right.
Isn't that a daisy?
You know, the whole thing is we're never going to get on solar. They've got meltdown-proof nuclear technology plants they can build now. They've got solar, we've got wind, and we'll never go on that like Germany's doing now. Even Canada is getting huge on solar and wind. We're not going to do that until the people that run this country that own the energy companies and the oil companies, I mean, until they can find a way to rob us on that too and sell us that overpriced and buy out all the solar panel companies and buy out all the turbine companies, all that stuff. When they can control all that and sell us that stuff at the same premium price that they are for energy through oil and coal and everything, that's when we'll get off all this stuff and the environment will get cleaned up. But until then, it ain't going to happen. And until then, we're going to be stuck in all these fucking wars over in the Middle East and all this bullshit. It's never going to end till we finally become self-sufficient energy-wise as a country, which we can do, but they don't want to do it. That's the problem. They're
you want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Yeah.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah,
and that's true.
Like,
most people can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth. What's going on?
I agree with that. And you know, it's like Neil deGrasse Tyson said. You know, all these you know people in politics, all these politicians. You know, he says where are the scientists? Where are the teachers? Where is other life? You know, to get into these positions to do what we need to do, because I mean, at the rate we're going, and you're like, you know, you got Sweden and Germany and all these other countries that are becoming self-sufficient. You know, we're gonna be our own downfall. You know, probably within the next 25 years. I mean, if we keep running the way we're going, it doesn't seem like anything's gonna get any better. I mean, we are. American greed is going to be the downfall of, you know, I can't remember who said it. Exactly, yeah.
We're circling the drain, man.
You know, every great nation has always failed, you know, and it's a matter of time. Just like every god has, you know, went to myth, it's inevitable.
Right.
I mean,
the problem is we know the solutions. We see the light. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. We know what could work, but the problem is the power brokers and everybody that's controlling everything, they're not going to allow it to happen, and that's the problem. And they're only going to allow it to happen when they can totally control it and they can make as much as they're making or more than they're making now. And as long as they can't make more than they're making now, they're not going to do it because it's all about money, man. They're in power. They're not going to I don't know what, I mean, you know, we talk about voting. I know we talked to Helbrook Lutzi a few times, and I talked with him, and, you know, he's big, you know, liberal Democrat, and, you know, we got to vote all the Republicans out of office. That's the answer. And you know, and I've never voted Republican in my life, and I never will. And, you know, and I have never voted for a Democrat president either. I never voted for Obama, and I just don't. I've always voted third party, and I just don't feel that, you know, I mean, I just don't feel like there's any hope as long as we keep voting as far as the federal and in Congress and everything is we just keep voting the same people from the Democratic Party and the Republican
right.
Party get voted in. I just don't think anything's going to change.
And that's why I wanted Ron Paul to be, you know, I mean, he had his quirks or whatever, but, I mean, I know there's some issues
right.
with maybe some racism, you know, and
right.
some articles.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And he's, you know, I mean.
Yeah, don't
yeah, he's got
don't bring it.
But he's got some. He
don't bring
really
his name up
ideas.
With. Don't bring his name up with Hell Broke Loose, man. He friggin'. He does not like him some Ron Paul, man. He friggin' hates Ron Paul.
Hey, quit praising on me, would you?
Right. He wanted to
right. do a lot of things that really did need to be done, you know, despite his baggage.
He wouldn't piss on Ron Paul if he was on the side of the road on fire. I mean, he friggin' hates Ron Paul. But, well, you know, he does, I mean, he does have a lot of great ideas, but then a lot of his stuff too is that total capitalist get rid of all restrictions. You know, in a way, a lot of the what he, you know his a lot of his ideas were going to make rich people a lot more richer and not really help poor people. So there's a lot of bad things about him too. So, but he, you know, right. I agree with ending the Fed, and I agree with one of his biggest things that I liked, which I wish I could find a Democrat that would push this is. Getting out of all these countries militarily, getting out of there, worrying about our own country. You know, that is really
decriminalizing
good.
And drugs and decriminalizing drugs altogether. That he was
right.
also one of his big things.
Those are the three things I like. Taking control of the banking system, ending the Federal Reserve, decriminalizing drugs, and getting out of all these countries militarily. That's the three things that he's pushed that I always like. Now, whether he would, you know, if he could ever would have became president, if he would have ever did that, who's to know? But, you know, I definitely am for all three of those things, you know, big time.
Yeah, it's really hard to find a all around player for that position. You know, to get everything we want done and. Done right without the blemishes and baggage is, you know, baggage that they carry with them from the past. And, you know, someone made a, you know, if they're like, what if we legalize heroin, everybody becomes heroin addicts, you know, someone's trying to hit him with that. It's like, he just threw his hands up and was like, if he's like, you mean to tell me if we decriminalize heroin, how many of you in here will go out and start shooting up tomorrow? You know?
No. Right.
You know, that kind of sold me on that. I was like, yeah, I mean, he's got a great point. I mean, no one's going to make you fucking do it. But it really comes down to, you know, the greed of the banks and people behind that.
You think about the criminalization of drugs. Yeah, I hear what you say about the banks. You think about the criminalization of drug use. You know, when you really think about it, you just think about it. Is it really a crime against humanity to want to be high, to want to escape reality and want to do drugs? Is that really a fucking crime? You know, is that really, you know, I mean, unless you go out and drive.
It is when they can't tax it.
Right.
That's the only way. So basically not. No, it's no different than alcohol. Prohibition, I mean, you've seen from the Al Capone days, the shit, prohibition does not fucking work. The war on drugs is a massive failure.
Down a beer?
Failure.
7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, prohibition didn't work. I mean, it was, you know.
No, it never will.
I mean,
you know.
It's people are always
any
gonna,
kind of prohibition.
People are always going to want to alter their
control.
Consciousness. Right.
Yeah. And they have the right to. Why not? You know, you come home from fucking work all day and you want a little head change.
Right.
Do it. And as long as, you know,
right.
you're not being negligent to your children or your other responsibilities,
right.
You know. I'm not
right.
saying, you know,
right.
have all your fucking syringes laying out or maybe people that are on heroin probably shouldn't have custody of their kids, but...
All right. little Johnny, put my syringe down. Don't be stabbing the puppy with that.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of fucking responsibility, maybe, you know. It's,
right.
The harder drugs are a lot more, it's kind of a gray area there. But, I mean, stuff like marijuana
right.
and alcohol or,
well, I but
you know,
I almost think it isn't, though. I mean, in a way, I think they make it a gray area because, you know, you look at a lot of the people in, like, you know, in I'm trying to think of Holland and Sweden and stuff. They have they're heavy drug users over there. It's not criminalized, and they have programs where they actually, you know, give the drugs to the, you know, clean needles and this, that. And a lot of those people over there are able to still live, you know, normal lives and hold jobs because they don't have criminal records. And if they do have kids or whatever, you know, I mean, they're, you know, they might still be addicts and they're not, but they're not, you know, they're not sick and they get proper health care. And they're still able to function and their health doesn't fail as bad because they're not forced on the streets and they're not forced to hide in shooting galleries and back alleys and stuff and use dirty needles and you know what I'm saying? They stay more normal and they're not criminalized and they're not put into a position where they're not able to take care of a kid or you know what I'm saying? So I mean. We do that to people here in this country. We force people to be, you know, we don't force them to do the drugs, but the way our system is, we force people into a lifestyle that puts them on the edge and makes them a criminal, in a lot of ways. Hello, caller. Is this old DB or who is this?
What's up, man?
Oh, man. What the
Finally
fuck?
On. God damn, I tell you.
What the fucking... fuck? You drive off into a ditch or something?
I guess. Yeah. It's like fucking pulling teeth, man, to make it on the show on time lately, man. It's crazy. So I you know, school's just starting and shit, and my whole schedule's all fucked up right now. So so here I am. What's going on? What's happening?
What's going on?
Hey.
It's hard for me to make it here too.
That was old DB's late old lady whipping him into shape.
That was about it. I just my phone's just all plugged in, just sitting on the couch, you know, and I'm doing all kinds of other shit, and I coach soccer, and I was up in town picking up fucking rosters and shit, and came back, and I've been on the phone calling people, and then I look over and I go, holy shit, the fucking radio show's on, man. It was like 8:30, and I'm like running around trying to get everything ready, call in and shit. Fuck. Anyway, man, I'll get to it yet.
Right.
I'm all you know, day late and a dollar short right now, man, for everything.
Yeah.
I got a 30 minutes.
Isn't that a daisy?
By the time I get home, I got 30 minutes to, you know, shit and shower and try to get on the on the phone with you.
Yeah, I've been
I've been
doing today. It's running around like fucking everywhere, and it's just, I don't know, man. Lost track of time.
I messaged Crusher. I said, "Call me, emergency. get out of the air. I'm on here babbling about NFL football, the eve of NFL football and shit. I was going down a dangerous road, man. I wanted to talk about ISIS and stuff, and I mentioned it a little bit or whatever, but I was just like, ah, shit, I don't even know what to say about it. I was all over the board, dude. I'm talking about ISIS. I'm talking about meeting Joe Biden on Monday at the barbecue. I was just all over the place, man. I'm just talking to myself, basically. You know, hoping we got a few listeners
right,
out there.
That's what our show does anyway. It goes off on tangents everywhere. So what? What was the? Did you? I mean, not to rehash if you don't want to, but the whole Biden thing, man. What was the deal with that? Were you able to spend some time with them, or is he just walking around?
A little bit. I mean, we were there with him for about probably an hour or hour and a half at this barbecue. Well, it all started, it was Monday was the barbecue, but it started like Friday and Saturday. Every time we let our dogs out in our backyard, they'd be going ape shit. You know, they were barking and going crazy, and we're like, what's wrong with the dogs, you know, and we couldn't figure out what it was. And then on Monday morning, we get a call from our neighbor a block over, and she calls my wife, and she says, what's going on at Bill, our neighborhood president's house? She said, there's all types of cop cars and everything. There's guys in black suits walking around all over the place. And Ursula had, Marticia, my wife, she said that she knew that Joe Biden was in town for the Labor Day parade. And she's, you know, jokingly said, well, maybe he's going to be over at our neighborhood president's house, whose his house is kitty corner behind our house, the next block behind us. His backyard kind of butts up to our yard, kitty corner. And so they joke about that, and they're like, yeah, he's going to be there. So she called him, and he said, she said, so what's going on at your house? Is Biden going to be over there? And he was like, yes, you need to be over at noon. I'll put you on the guest list. He had a big catered thing. The mayor was there. All these dignitaries were there. They had this big catered barbecue, Secret Service everywhere. We walked over there. We got in, and we were back there. We waited about a half hour, and they had a brass foursome band playing all the presidential type, you know, music and everything. It looked like he had it set up. It looked like Martha's Vineyard in the backyard. You know, it was really this guy's got a beautiful home, a beautiful yard. It's just unbelievable. So he comes walking in with all these guys and everything, all Secret Service and everything. He walks right up to me, stands like 5 feet in front of me. I'm videoing him on my phone. He goes, does about a 13-minute speech. Then we, you know, he met, there was about 40 people back there, and he met and took pictures and talked with everybody for about a minute. Then he, when my wife, you know, she worked for the mayor for a short time. So we're standing there by the mayor in a little semicircle of people. And he walks over to us, and for about 20 minutes, he just stood there and talked to us. And we just, you know, well, we got a bunch of pictures with him, shook his hand. You know, I got a couple really cool pictures with him and talked to him and stuff. And I cracked a big joke at the end. It was really funny. He was starting to walk away when he was getting ready to leave, and he goes, where's my old friend Bill? You know, our neighborhood president, Bill. You know, he goes, my old friend Bill. He goes, I'll see you next time, buddy. And Bill goes, next time. And I said, yeah, you know, I was right in front of the mayor and everybody. I go, you didn't hear? I said he told us he's coming over next summer, and at your house, and we're going to do the Obama-Putin peace summit over here. And everybody's laughing. They're all laughing. And in our neighborhood, President Bill's wiping his forehead because he was so nervous, man. His hands were shaking and everything. He was real, real nervous. And he was like, oh, geez. He's like, I don't think I could take it, because he was, like, really, I mean, he had, like, agents crawling all around his house and everything. And they had been for days, like, for, like, 3 days in advance, dude. They were out there with bomb-sniffing dogs. They had all this equipment, dude. I looked in the trunk of one of the Secret Service cars. They had all this, like, weird, I don't know if it was radio equipment or what. It was in the stuff in cases. And I bet you, dude, they, like, listening to people's houses talking and everything.
Yeah.
You know, for days in advance, dude. Who knows what they're doing, you know. They were walking around in our backyard along our back fence there. They had bomb-sniffing dogs. Them guys were back there. That's why our dogs kept going apeshit. They were, you know, hearing them back there dicking around. So, I mean, it was cool. He was a really nice guy. He was real, real, real funny. He was taking people's phones and talking to people's parents and kids. He was going, yeah, this is Joe Biden. Who's this? And they'd be like, I'm here with your mom. What do you mean? What do you mean you don't believe this is Joe Biden? He goes, of course it's Joe Biden. And he's like, he was funny, he was cracking people up. So it was really funny.
That's hilarious. Good thing they didn't get wind of this radio show. You wouldn't have gotten within like a mile of the dude.
Right. Well,
they would have evacuated you from your own house for a while, I think.
Right. I wanted to ask him if he ever felt like he had fantasies of choking John Boehner or punching Ted Cruz in the mouth, and my wife was like, don't you dare ask him those questions. Like, I couldn't get away with it. I had my voice recorder on my phone, but she was like, don't record him, don't call or anything. But hey, we got a call, another call here. I'm going to see who this is and see who we got here.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
Well, okay, I'm doing it all wrong.
You're right.
Uh-oh, I think I know this number.
You do know this number.
Caller? Oh, no.
This would be your wife.
It's Morticia. Uh-oh. I was talking some shit, and she called right in right away. Uh-oh.
I did.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you were regaling everybody with your tales of hanging out with the vice president this weekend.
Right, I was. I did. Yeah, old DB just called in, so we were talking about that and amongst other things. But yeah, it was funny. It was pretty funny.
I can't believe you didn't get yourself arrested somehow, man.
Am really shocked that they let him in the door too.
I live with a very dangerous woman.
They're like, look at this guy. Keep a close eye on him.
Well they were
eyeballing him.
Oh, they were eyeballing me bad, man. They were really eyeballing me. I could tell, you know, I had my sleeves pulled up, and I got full-sleeve tattoos, and they were just, they were looking at me like, you know, who in the hell is this ripper? You know, they were just staring at me. So, yeah,
what I find
it was pretty
funniest
bad.
Funniest about the whole thing, well, there were so many things that were funny about it, but, you know, he gave a talk. So the reason he came to our neighborhood is because the mayor wanted him to see a Detroit neighborhood on the rise. And so he talked a lot about, you know.
Isn't that a daisy?
The dream of middle class and how so many Americans have given up on, say that they don't care to be middle class anymore. They don't care about owning a home. They don't care about sending their kids to college. And his point is that people actually do still care about those things. But, you know, it's a dream that escapes them anymore. And our neighborhood's one of those places where it can actually still happen. But what I find...
7 years of college down the drain.
Yeah, 17 years of college down the drain. But, you know, he kept talking about, you know, your kids and raising families. And the majority of our neighborhood, quite frankly, is gay.
Don't say that.
That's why everyone's spiffing up the neighborhood, man.
That's right.
I hear they try and recruit gay people to come into communities.
Okay, so let's just
say... Why would you even say that the majority of the neighborhood is gay?
Okay, so not the majority. The majority of the neighborhood that actually consists of gay.
I thought it 20%.
Okay, so about 20% of our neighborhood is gay.
That's still a pretty good chunk, man.
I'd
say
five.
Probably a good 50% of the neighbors that were there are gay, without family. Without a typical middle-class children's family. I find it kind of ironic that we had a lot of talk about, you know, the middle class and sending the kids to college, and most of us there aren't ever going to see that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know, I just read an article, it's funny you mentioned it, like a day or two ago, about not only are people, like, giving up on owning a home, but it's, like, not really what they want anymore. A lot of people are just content with renting and not owning a bunch of. They're content with moving away from the ownership type of lifestyle for everything, and you know,
right?
Yeah,
you know, renting out and stuff, and you know, I can kind of see that. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's no need to, you know. I mean, for me, I like owning a house, but it's not nowadays. I know a lot of people that it's no big deal to. Just, you know, to rent out a place and not own it anymore, right? But it's just a sign of the middle class of where it's gone, you know?
It's where it's gone, but there was a point in time where home ownership was the one thing that could move you out. It was an asset that could move you out of poverty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, all the equal opportunity laws were about, making sure that, you know, you couldn't discriminate against minorities, you know. Still, you know, to have that asset's still a big deal. I know a lot of stuff has happened to us. We've gotten a lot of, well, I guess you call them perks, but, home equity line of credit that enabled us to do things that we would have never been able to do without this, or just having that, stacking in that asset on our credit, I mean, alone, it changed our lifestyle.
Yeah.
By all means.
Right.
Yeah, it does. You know, the first home I bought was out in Colorado. And it went up so quickly in value that we cashed out and remortgaged, and we paid every single one of our bills. We were debt free because of our house within the span of about 3 years. And then it went up again in value. So I mean, it was a huge improvement in our lives for sure.
Yeah.
Right. Know?
I mean, we're debt-free because of our house in the span of about 3 years. I mean, just paid off every single debt we had, and then it still gained value after that. So, you know, it was a great investment, and usually is.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is like, you know, it's so out of reach now, and there are so many people that have, you know, claimed bankruptcy or don't have good credit or whatever else, that it's almost impossible for a large portion of people in this country anymore to be able to buy a house.
Yeah.
Or just because
well,
of the credit
alone. Like the homes that are affordable, like our neighborhood, they're still very, very affordable homes. You could buy homes here for, you know, thousands of dollars instead of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Uh-huh.
And, but you got to pay cash.
Really?
So, you know, nobody's mortgaging a $30,000 house, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's surprising. But, you know, I don't know, little by little.
What is it, man?
You see a lot of, you know, I follow that Curb Detroit on Facebook, and it shows all the renovations and development in Detroit. And it's pretty cool, man. There's a lot going on. I mean, surprisingly enough, really all you see in here is the blight. You know, that's always what you see on TV and all, but it's very, very little do you see anything covered by the media of, you know, the businesses moving into Detroit and some of the conversions of the neighborhoods and whatever else. So.
Well, we had family in town Friday from Texas, and they hadn't been here since the 70s. And so Paul and I took them around. And you know, we showed them our neighborhood. We showed them some other neighborhoods. Showed them Belle Isle.
Use our aliases, Ma.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just going to
call you Pa.
I'm still waiting for people to find out. My handle's Uncle Fester, and I call you Morticia, and nobody's brought that up. That's weird. They know the Addams family.
Yeah.
Apparently Gomez is passed on, and I'm messing with his wife.
Yeah, I guess so. That's always been a non-traditional marriage. But the point of my story here was, so we took our family around. You know, we took it downtown to Jazz Fest. We ate downtown, rode the people mover, showed them everything, walked through Greektown. And at the end of the night, my uncle said, he's like, man, this is not the Detroit you see on TV, you know.
Yeah.
And they were really, really impressed. It's true. It's just one of the few places. I mean, where else could we have bought a, you know, refinished home for $30,001, you know?
At this
day and age, it appraised to over double in 2 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and, it's, you know, as long as the neighborhoods are being renovated and people are moving into them, that value is going to keep going up, too. That was the other thing I saw.
Right.
Maybe it was on Curb Detroit, but they show listings for some houses, and they had a couple literal mansions in there that were for sale for like $150,000.
Yep.
You know, $140,000. They were 10-room mansions. I forgot the name. They had names and some famous people that lived in them, and I don't have them in front of me right now, but it was interesting to see that some of the large houses there, you know, are even affordable, really. Some of the mansions
are
affordable.
Some of those are in Boston, Edison. They had a few real nice mansions in Boston, Edison. So, that's not horrible over there, but the neighborhood is still, you know, it's pretty sketchy around it. And a lot of them houses that are $100,000 like that are mansions, they need a lot of work. I mean, you really have to, you know, if you get one of those, you're going to need a lot of money to really.
Yeah, three times
that
to fix it up.
Right, you're going to need put a lot of work into them. Usually they don't come, you know, really nice already. So that's a big money pit, you know. I mean, it's worth it if you got the money to put into it. But
I mean, if you got $400,000, you can, instead of buying a 4,000 square foot house, you could buy a 10,000 square foot house and a historical built house and whatever else, you know.
Right.
But I don't, you know, it's happening. It's I think we've talked before about that. I mean, really, Detroit is definitely the city's got problems that they're working out of, and it's going to take a while. And right now, it's just kind of like an open frontier for business. And I was reading where a lot of people are coming in and starting up businesses that don't have any money. You know, because it's so cheap to come in and rent. You know, the overhead for a business in Detroit is so cheap that they're getting a lot of entrepreneurial people with, you know, mom and pops that are they're trying to open up their businesses right in Detroit, you know, just because it's so cheap to run it out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, not only that, we've got really a community that is, you know, it's not nearly as competitive as other areas. You know, when you start a new business here, there's actually other business owners that help you.
Yeah.
Which
right.
is just kind of unheard of in most places. I just started up my own business this year, $500, and it started, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I had other people that were in the same field that were, you know, sitting down with me, giving me advice, hooking me up with clients, you know. It's
all right.
good, it's a good time. I'm sure, you know, somebody will put a stop to it soon.
and you're pretty good at fetching me a beer out of the fridge, babe. You're going to do well in that business.
Thank you.
I'm sure she's had numerous practice at it.
Yeah.
Sense of practice.
Well, he's such a liar. We just bought him a fridge to, like, tote around next to him so I don't have to get it.
You need to get him like
my little
so he can just sip it right out of a pack.
I got a little saddle bag fridge I can carry around me back and forth to the bathroom.
Yep.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All you need now is like a recliner that's got like a toilet right in it, and you wouldn't even have to get up.
Right. Oh, right.
Do
right.
I have a story for you?
Oh, no. You can't.
But I got a story.
You cannot tell this story on air. We've got 60, 70
right.
people across
Go
the
ahead.
World
Let's hear
listening
it.
To this story. You don't tell that story. Wait a minute. We're having problems with her phone is starting to crackle out. I don't think she's making it. I think she's. Oh,
are you really going to cut me off so I can't tell this story?
You can't tell this on the air.
Yes, I can.
Are you... You can't really tell us on the air, can you?
So, Mom, a while back, you're going to have an hour of that because I will wait you out.
All right.
A while back, he tore his Achilles tendon playing softball. And we lived in a small house at the time, two-story house. And there was only one bathroom, and it was upstairs. So either he had to be upstairs by the bathroom or downstairs where everybody else was, and he couldn't get to the bathroom. Wow. And so we decided it would be best and easiest if we bought him a male urinal, a portable male urinal to take
uh-huh.
around with him. So we were at Meijer, and he's in one of those little motorized carts because he can't walk because he's, you know, he's got a cast on. And
well, did you tell him you got it because the bathroom was upstairs. We didn't have a downstairs bathroom, but I had to stay on crutches for a month.
I did tell that part of
right.
the story. You should listen.
Okay.
It's got playing sound effects over me. So we're at Meijer. He's in his little motorized cart with his male urinal. I'm thinking we had another 50 years till we got to that point, but there we are.
Right.
So we take
right.
the male urinal home, and he uses it, and then 3 months pass, the cast comes off, and he continues to use it. Now, the bathroom is literally 10 feet
no,
away.
No, 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 you're doing it all wrong.
10 feet away from the couch where he watches football all the time. But he wants to make sure
right.
he's not missing any football, so he continues to use the male urinal. For months on end. So finally, I bleached it out and I hid it in the cleaning supplies, and he didn't find it for 3 years.
That's all I have to say about
that. I'm like, if you had cleaned the bathroom one time in the past 3 years, you would have found your beloved male urine.
That's bull. You know that's bullshit.
That's
he was just trying to get your money's worth out of it is all, you know.
He definitely got his money's worth. I found it next to the bed one night. I'm like, come on. I mean, literally, that house was so small, it was 10 feet away. He could have walked to the bathroom.
I drank a lot of beer, and I needed to pee, and I didn't want to walk to the bathroom. I was tired.
Feet.
Hey, quit praying on me, would you?
So...
Jeez.
Yeah, so no, he does not need another male urinal.
Well, good thing she hid that, Danny. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
You could have just left it there forever. You could have installed
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
through a ceramic urinal, you know, installed it right on your wall in your your bedroom. That would have been great. That would have been awesome. Right there.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Right.
So now that I've thoroughly embarrassed you, I just wanted to make sure that you were telling our wonderful story of hanging out with the vice president, where Paul went fanboy, by the way.
What's that?
So, I said Paul went totally fanboy on the vice president. He was taking selfies with him.
Who?
That's where you did.
I wasn't going fanboy on him. Are you kidding me?
The truth comes out.
He walks down the sidewalk. It's like this. It's like. And he walks right up to me, and he's like right in my face. What am I supposed to act like? I ignore, act like Kid Rock, and ignore him, and act like he's not even there. You know.
You could have just said. You could have just said, "I voted for the other guy."
No, I would have pinched him.
I did very well. I thought I was very, you know, I called him his proper title. I said I called him Mr. Vice President. I mean, I don't know. I thought I did pretty good. I was actually quite impressed
because the first thing he did when he found out we were going was text you, DB, to see what questions he should ask. And I threatened not to let him come with me.
Yeah.
Did you like my response?
Right.
Did you ask him anyway? Is he a part of the Illuminati?
No.
That would have been a great question to ask him.
He would have got kicked out of the neighborhood.
Right.
You know, would have
dragged your ass out of there faster than anything, man.
Yeah.
I heard a story, there was one person there.
I'm like, excuse me, Mayor. Excuse me, dignitaries. Mr. Vice President, are you part of the Illuminati?
He would have had his danger word. You know, would have been, uh-oh.
Rainbows.
And then they would have closed in on you, and that would have been it.
There was one person there that confronted him about student loans, if he was going to do something about the student loans. And I don't know if it was inside the party or right outside the party. But I heard somebody tell him the story that somebody walked up to him and asked, I guess rather aggressively, what he was going to do about student loans.
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
But if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
And 10 of his Secret Service men took him aside and answered the question for him.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
How dare you break wind before me?
Well,
I'm sorry, baby. I didn't know it was your turn.
He's got at least one son, if not a couple, that are in the banking industry. So they're making big money off of student loans right now. So I don't know if he's going to be the one to stop any of that.
Yeah.
I think he said in his speech, didn't he say something about I'm rich? He goes, I know I'm rich, but I've known hard times too. He started talking about being back in Pennsylvania steel town when he was little, and it basically shut down and everything.
I think he said that. I was too busy fanning you so you didn't faint, so I didn't hear all of his speech.
I know. I was sweating. Oh, my God. It was so humid there, man. I was sweating like a friggin' whore in prison, man. It was horrible. A whore in church. That's you, whore in prison and church. Oh, man. I was just dripping.
Same thing.
She makes me wear this nice shirt and slacks. Everybody there has got shorts on and a golf shirt. I'm wearing a full get-up, and I got sweat just pouring out of me because it was so humid. I was like, holy crap.
Very proper neighborhood. I wasn't sure what summer casual was.
Flies and mosquitoes. Yeah, I was a little bit wet when I shook his hand. He was probably like, why is this guy sweating so bad?
Yeah, he was sweating, too.
That's probably why the Secret Service was probably staring at me because I was sweating so goddamn bad. They're probably thinking, what's wrong with this guy? Look at how bad he's sweating. He must be, he's nervous. Was he got a shoe bomb on or what, you know?
He had a really thin T-shirt on, a thin, nice T-shirt on. And
it was a long shirt, though, long sleeve shirt.
Yeah,
it was a sweater
thin.
Right.
And in all the pictures, you can see how excited he is to meet the vice president.
Yeah. I had the diamond cutters going in every picture.
Wait, are we talking shirt or pants here?
Shirt.
Oh, all right.
Did you make sure your bar was zipped up?
Yeah, I thought
he was walking in, announcing himself there with a, you know, being excited.
He only does that at special occasions like a wedding.
Yeah, my fly is only down at weddings and funerals.
What better occasion to be down?
Hey, Crusher, we got to crush some God brains tonight, or what? Are we going to get into some religious talk? We got to get off this topic, man.
Yeah.
Get off the topic of embarrassing you? Okay.
We got to stop
quit praising on me, would you?
Goofy stuff, talking about Biden and all his bullshit. Yeah, it was nice just to wrap this topic up. It was nice to meet him. You know, how many times is a vice president of the free world basically in your backyard? You know, it was cool that we were able to go over there, and I thanked our neighborhood President Bill for inviting us over. It was nice to meet him. He seemed like a really nice guy. He was pretty funny. I looked right in his eyes. You know, I kind of looked at him. I was staring into his soul, you know, trying to see the evil Illuminati, you know, or whatever. I'm like, hey, he seemed like a normal person to me. I don't know, man. I didn't get a creepy feeling from him or anything. So,
yeah. Well, he's been through some shit. His wife, like, died in a car accident, didn't she? And one of his kids.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. His first wife and one of his kids died in a car accident a while back, while he was a senator. And that's the reason why he got remarried and all. But so he's been through some serious personal hardships and all, but, you know.
Right.
And he's, you know, he just seems like kind of a goof, you know, kind of a funny goof, you know, and I don't mind him so much. I mean, I don't know if I'd want him to be president or anything, but he's a pretty funny dude just to hear him talk and stuff. He seems pretty casual, even in formal circumstances, you know? I mean, just kind
of... Yeah, he's very
casual.
He showed up. He was just wearing, like, a pair of Dockers and a golf shirt, you know? He didn't come in a suit or anything. So, I mean, he literally looked like your old Uncle Joe, you know, just swinging in for a beer and a burger with
isn't
you.
That a daisy?
All right. Well, cool.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Right.
Looks a little like Bob Barker, don't he?
Yeah, he does. He does kind of look like Bob Barker. I agree with that.
He was down
Bob
for
Barker
for the Labor Day parade, huh? Down in Detroit.
Yeah.
So he marched in it. Yeah, my cousin was down there.
I don't know if he marched it. Did he march it, babe? You know more about that. I don't
know.
No,
he didn't march in it,
no.
But he did speak at the rally at the beginning or end.
Wow. Well, that's good. That's a surprise because Obama hasn't been great.
Hey, what about
I
don't know if you saw the video, old DB, but she posted a video on her neighborhood website. But did you see, when you watched that video, Morticia, did you look at Hoffa's face at all? It was funny if you look over at Hoffa standing over to the left next to the mayor, and every time he's talking and he's facing me, and I'm videoing him, I'm dead center. He's like 10 feet in front of me, Biden. He does this 13-minute speech. I'm videoing him, and every time he's talking, I have Hoffa and Mayor Duggan in the left side of the camera, and Hoffa has a look on his face like he's eating a dog turd. I mean, he just looks like he doesn't want to be there. And then every time he cracked about 5 or 6 jokes during this, you know, 13-minute speech. And every time he joked, he would turn towards the mayor and Hoffa, and I would turn the camera on them. And every time Biden would turn towards Hoffa, he would look up from the ground and he would start laughing and, you know, smile. And then as soon as Biden turned around, he'd look back down with a sour puss face and look all mad again and bummed out and unhappy. It was hilarious, dude. He looked like he could give a fuck about being there. It was really funny.
What does he do now? Is he heading the AFL-CIO? What's his
name?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's the son of Jimmy Hoffa, right?
He's running he's running the
is he
he's
the son?
Running Teamsters. Yes.
Oh, Teamsters, yeah. And he's
So, you know.
I wonder if he knows where his dad's at.
He's probably been to about 30 of these friggin' labor rallies like this and labor marches, and he's probably so sick of doing them. But he really looked like he could give a fuck about being there. So I just thought it was kind of funny I rewatched that video, and I was just watching his face. And it was like, you know, the king is looking at us. We better laugh at his joke. Then he looks away, and he's just like, oh, boy, you know. Yeah,
wow. Well, rubbing elbows at the high and mighty.
Yeah, you know. So I told old Morticia there, man, she's on the – somebody was telling me, a friend of mine who saw was watching the pictures and stuff and watching all that, he said – one of my buddies said, one day, dude, she's going to be mayor of Detroit. He goes, I'm predicting it now, maybe 10, 15 years. I said, nah, all right. I go, she ain't no politician. He goes, no bullshit, dude. She's going to be mayor of Detroit. He goes, and you're going to be living in the Manoogian Mansion. You just watch. And I'm like, I started laughing. I'm like, well, I said, anything's possible, I guess, at this point. But I wouldn't bet money on it. But I go, but she could do anything she wants because she's pretty awesome chick. Mm-hmm. Chip.
Isn't that a daisy?
Right.
Well, you never know.
Right.
Never know.
All right, babe. Well, this is where we're gonna start insulting. your constituents and religious people. So you might want to go.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, and I'll see you in about 45 minutes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. Yeah, that was quite a thing. That was all due to her, you know, with her relationship with the mayor and all that. We went to a few things, you know, where we got to meet pretty cool people like that. She's met a lot of big CEOs of, like, you know, GM and Chrysler, and we, you know, she used to work with William Clay Jr., Ford Jr., and his wife and stuff, and she worked with a lot of the Lions, Detroit Lions brass, and they had her company has a big thing with the Lions, working with them through a charity and everything, so she has a lot of those type of relationships with people in our area, so I was, that was kind of shocking, though, to get that to go over there on Monday for that, on Labor Day. We weren't planning on doing that. We were planning on having a cookout and going around doing a little shopping and stuff, and then all of a sudden we get that call. We're like, whoa, we're going over here. That's wild.
Yeah. Probably good. Did you have a show last week? Did you do a show?
Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Probably a good thing you didn't, man, with them all eavesdropping and shit. They would have zeroed right in on your house, man.
Right. They would have heard me talking about ISIS and you know, and how we started all this shit, and we overthrew Iran, and we've paid all these terrorist groups and everything. They would have been hearing all that shit, so I'm glad I didn't. So, you know, that's we were talking about that earlier a little bit, me and Crusher. I was talking about it a little bit right before he came out, and we talked about it a little bit, but I mean, we could rehash that, or if you got some kind of subject you want to talk about, or just fucking hit religion. Or just going to the whole religious angle of, you know, the whole the ISIS and the Muslim, and we kind of went over that a little bit too, or I did anyways. I don't know. I was kind of just talking over Crusher and telling him, you know, kind of just going on a diatribe about how kind of Christianity and Judaism basically started friggin', you know, Islam, and, you know, Islam was a rebuttal to the Crusades and, you know, and Catholicism, and then, you know, all the in the modern times, all the funding and overthrowing that we've done of sovereign governments in the Middle East, and, you know, we want, I don't believe that we want democracy over there. I don't believe that we're against terrorism over there. I think we want sovereign governments to be in total chaos. We want to overthrow stuff. We want chaos. We want to destabilize these governments in the Middle East so we can get their oil and their natural resources. We use these groups to fuck people over there. And we funded them. It's obvious. It's common knowledge. I don't understand why people haven't figured it out that we fund a lot of terrorism. We have. It's been exposed. I mean, we fund Al-Qaeda in Syria, but then we're fighting them in, you know, wherever, Iraq and Afghanistan or whatever, or yeah. Taliban and Afghanistan. But you know what I'm saying? It's all bullcrap. We give money. We give billions to Israel, but then we give money to Palestine, it goes to Hamas, and we're funding both sides, and we just
Saudi Arabia,
like, you know, Saudi Arabia. Our allies are funding fucking ISIS. Saudi Arabia is giving money to ISIS. Kuwait.
Well, a lot
the
we
bank,
armed
the
ISIS, man. A lot of those people in ISIS came from Syria. They were fighting.
Right.
They were fighting Assad, and we armed them. And then they realized they could just roll through Iraq if they wanted,
right.
and that's what they did, man. They wanted to take over their own country.
And then you got these dickheads like John McCain, who want to get us all fired up about it now and say, let's go in there and just get them. They beheaded an American reporter. Well, I don't give a fuck about that. You know, yeah, it's horrible. You feel bad for him and his families and stuff. But, I mean, I'm not going to get all fired up about that. I don't want to send my kid over there or anybody else's kids to go die over there because, what we've done as a country and our foreign policy, it's been fucking bullshit. You create the monster, then you want us to go over there and kill the monster. Well, fuck that. No, we're not going to do it, man, and I don't support it. And I'm sick of my taxes going for all this shit. You know, I got a family member that works over there. He works in he does satellite targeting. Yeah, I think I talked about it before. And, you know, my family members are telling my mom and dad something. They're like, you don't know what's going on over there, and if we told you, we'd have to kill you, and they tell us this stuff, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I know what's going on over there, and I'm fucking pissed about it. And I don't support it no more. I mean, I'm not, dude, there was never a person that was more of a patriot, more of a pro-U.S. I was in the military. I served my years in the Air Force. I was always pro-military. I give proper respect to military. I respect the presidency, the office of the United States. Even though I don't agree with Obama and I don't like a lot of stuff that he does, I respect the office of the presidency. I'm not disrespectful to it. I don't like doing that. You know, but I can't fucking support this shit, man. I mean, you watch that movie, the documentary Dirty Wars. We've talked about that before. Can you honestly watch that? And that's not from some joker like Alex Jones or some crackpot. That's made by reputable, you know, movie makers, and it got all types of awards for best documentary of the year of 2013. You watch that documentary, and you tell me you can honestly support what we're doing over there. It's bullshit, dude. It's fucking bullshit. And I, for one, man, I'm fucking sick of it. And I hate Islam. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a piece of shit religion. It's fucking bullshit. The way they, like Crusher, the way they treat women, burying them up to their heads, stoning them, pouring acid on their face, totally subjugating women, treating them like crap, you know, not even allowing women to discipline their, you know, little boy. Heck, they do that by us here in Dearborn. All the Arab people around here, the women are not even allowed to discipline the male child. They can't, they don't know them, they can't touch them. The little male Arab children, not so much Chaldean, but the Muslim, male Arab children, you see them, little boys with the Muslim mothers in the stores. These kids are just nuts, man. They just do whatever they want, the little boys, because the women can't even discipline them. They can't even grab them or tell them to stop or nothing. They can't talk to them or tell them to stop it. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is backwards, man. The whole religion is ridiculous. And so I'm not for it. I'm definitely not for them. But I understand why we do this. Why do we empower these terrorist groups and the Al Qaeda's and all this, and the Saudi Arabia with the Bush's relationship with the Bin Ladens and the oil and all this bullshit, dude. It's too we're too dirty. We're implicit in all this shit. So you want me to get mad about it now? You know, you want me to get mad about Iraq when we caused Iraq, when we armed Saddam Hussein for decades to fight against Iran, and we did. You know, and we actually helped overthrow Iran in the 50s, and then we wanted to get all mad about that. Fuck all that, dude. You know, if you study history and find out what's going on, you won't support what we're doing. I don't know how people can support it, but this whole country, the Fox News heads, these people are fucking blind, man, to what's going on, and they blindly support flag waving, fucking, like the dipshit Sarah Palins of the. You know, we just gotta, God bless this country, and we gotta keep supporting the troops. Yeah. I support the troops. Yeah. I want them home, man. I want them out of there. You know, I don't fucking support it.
I get all that. You know, I understand, you know, all that, but I know that, you know, groups like ISIS and, you know, Al Qaeda and all these extremists, these are groups that, you know, are already, you know, groups doing things maybe at a smaller level. It's definitely something that we cause. I think it should be something. It should be a mess that we have to clean up if we caused it. They're going to do it with or without us.
Right.
Just to round up a few of them or take a few out, you know, we'll put a maybe not a real big dent in everything, but, you know, it'll put enough, you know, just to, if we did in fact do all this, you know, it's something that we should have to go over there and clean up. You know, you make a mess and I'll clean it up and don't do it again. That's the thing. That's where I really agree with you. It is we'll probably continue to keep doing the shit to where we keep having all these messes to where we have to go over there, you know, and clean up our dirty work. You know, and I'm far from, you know, the patriotic flag waving, you know, American. You know that by my posts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, you know, that if we're in fact behind all this, it's a shame that we have to go over there anyway to even do something that we help contribute to. But it's still a problem with or without us. I think ISIS is just the tip of the iceberg of what needs to be done. I mean, the whole entire Middle East is in ruins because of the Islamic religion, the Sharia law. I mean, it existed before, you know, we started funding them, and it'll be there after. And I just don't really know any other solution to the Islam problem.
I don't agree with that at all. I mean, you're saying that they're in ruins because of Sharia law. They're in ruins because of us. I mean, you know, Iraq, I mean, look at the museum that got looted, man. It had artifacts that were 5,000 years old that were either bombed or looted because of us going in there and creating war. And this is a statement that you're making, Crusher, that I think is false, is you're saying we created it and then we need to go clean it up. That's not what we're doing. We're creating the instability continuously. We're
right.
not going in, hey, let's go do this and then go fix it. We're keeping that instability there so that we can have our troops there to control the raw resources, the oil, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's the only reason we're there. That's the only reason anything even matters over there right now. That's the only reason why there's military over there, why there's media over there, why there's anything else over there is because of oil. That's it.
And we continue to
destabilize that area specifically for that. Well, you know, Fester mentioned us overturning Mossadegh in Iran in the 50s, man. That was specifically so BP could go in there and control
right.
the oil fields.
Maybe I should clarify a little more. I mean more of the lifestyle that the women and children have to endure because of Sharia law, because of the Islam religion. Regardless of whatever we're doing, I agree with, you know, what you're saying and all that. But it needs to stop. We have to stop contributing to these people.
Crusher, you're going on the religious end of it. So you're going on the religious end of it. And in that case, yes, I agree with you. If we could go in there almost as crusaders and to eradicate Islam and then get rid of the radicals and then try to coerce the moderates to never become radicals or to ease them away from their, you know, radical and following the Quran and all
but
that
we won't.
Tells you to get rid of infidels. If we could do that, that would be awesome if we were doing that, but we're not doing that.
We
That's
won't.
The problem.
Exactly.
I don't agree.
And we won't.
I don't agree, man. It's right back to this is the thing that you guys are talking about, and we've talked about this before. You're just replacing one evil with another. I mean, instead of religious zealots killing people, it's us killing people. What's the difference?
All right.
That stance, you know, that's exactly there. It goes back to what we're talking about. Noam Chomsky, man, when they talked about, you know, Hitchens and Dawkins and Harris, you know, their religion isn't religion. Their religion is the state, and it's okay if the state goes in and kills those people. It's not okay if Sharia law does. That don't float, man. It can't be okay
with either
of them. I mean, you look, this dude from Duck Dynasty, they're so influential with the right wing now. His thing is convert them or kill them. I mean, you know, Fester just used the phrase crusade.
I'm not talking about that.
you know,
well,
hey, if you crazy one of
these
days and killed all those people, it wouldn't, man. It wouldn't, because all we're doing is replacing one evil with another, man. We're going, look at Iraq right now. Look at Iraq. Not only was there, I mean, there's so much destabilization. There's bombs going off every week, killing 50, 100 people, Sunnis killing Shiites, Shiites killing Sunnis, and we created that destabilization. And it's
right,
going on, and it's been going on now for years.
Twisting it, though, Dennis. I'm not saying we should go in there and have a crusade. I'm saying I was saying if we were going in there to try to stabilize these countries and stuff for humanitarian reasons, to protect women and children from religious persecution and stuff, if that's what we were actually doing, I would be more for it. But we're not doing that.
Exactly.
We're going in there killing people indiscriminately just you know, for natural resources. I can't get behind that. We should be doing the same thing.
Even then, if we went in there under the precept of protecting, you know, the innocent, the women and the children, which we do a lot already. We already say that's the reason we're in there.
Spreading democracy.
We're going in spreading democracy. We're saving everybody, and
that's,
you know, we're spreading democracy all over
news.
By killing everybody. You know,
that's
and
what
it's,
they tell
it,
people
it's not
Fox
the answer
news.
Either
you
way,
know,
man.
We're not doing that. That's what they tell people on Fox News.
Right,
you know,
right.
But the
thing is either way, the answer to killing, to these religious zealots killing people, is not for us to go in and kill people. It's just not it.
Right.
The answer to killing people, you know, killing more people as the answer to killing people is never the answer. It's never no matter what they're doing, there's atrocious crimes going on right here in America because of religion, but we're not invading Alabama because of it.
I don't have a blueprint for it, but I half-heartedly, you know, I made a comment, you know, about it on my page about, you know, and it's a little George Carlin-esque style to it, you know, when he did his routine about, you know, the states, you know, putting up fences and having this type of criminal on this side and this type of criminal on that side, you know, block off all the square states. I don't know if you remember him doing that. My thing was, you know,
right.
open a
little doors a couple minutes every week or whatever. And you'd have the rapists in one corner, serial killers in the other, and the maniacs and crazy people in Oklahoma and Colorado and Kansas and all four states.
Yeah.
They'd have little fences, little doorways. They would let each. They'd give a bunch of PCP and weapons and dildos and all this stuff and everything. And then they would put it all on TV. Yeah, I remember that. That was a good skit.
Yeah, and if we can legitimately go in there to make a difference, you know, as a humanitarians, because you know that's kind of my thing about it. You know, I hate all of it. I hate having to have to resorting to any type of violence, to get our point across. But if there was a way to remove the women and children who want to know part, you know, of this extremism, get them out of there, build a wall around Iraq, put all those motherfuckers inside of there, and let them suck and fuck each other until they die. You know, if you want to be this, go take your extreme shit over here where you can't hurt anybody else, and we will take the women and children, get them unbrainwashed from this system of death that they're forcing on everybody. And, you know, what would the solution be? How could we do that? You know, because I'm not saying go in there and fucking murder everybody. That's crazy.
Right.
I also say that, you know, if these extremists should get popped and die, I'm not going to have any fucking empathy for them. I mean, you're cutting kids, you're stoning women to death, and you're cutting people's heads off, you know, whatever happens to you, I don't give a shit, you know.
But here's the thing, Crusher. The extremists that you're talking about that we're fighting against, we have the same extremists on our side doing stuff over there in the Middle East. We are going into sovereign countries. We're killing people. We're putting hits on people and killing them.
Even American
citizens. We're not cutting heads off. We're blowing them off. We're fucking blowing them off.
Right.
When you see an Arab dad pulling a baby, a video of him pulling a baby out of his little baby, a little toddler, two-year-old, out of the rubble, and half his head's missing. He's burnt black. He has no feet, and he's crying. And he's holding him like a burnt black little doll, and you see him just screaming in horror, and he puts the doll, I call it a doll because I can't even say it's a real human kid, puts it to his chest and starts stroking his head, and he's crying. I don't give a motherfuck. When I watch that video, I don't even care if that guy is Muslim or whatever. That I can't support it, dude. I'm done with it. I'm fucking done with it. Those are our bombs, and those are us attacking them. I've seen too many videos. I've seen too much shit about that, and I can't take it no more. Our number one goal should be to get off of oil and coal and fucking fossil fuels. We should be doing every fucking thing possible. Every factory, everything that could build a wind turbine, a solar panel, everybody should be fucking. We should be getting off of oil and coal and fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Just get the fuck. If we get off of that, that will be the number one thing that will stop all this shit. And then if they want to still kill each other over there and they want to keep doing that and they're not getting any of our money anymore for Saudi Arabia getting our money, maybe Saudi Arabia then will attack fucking. They'll do something crazy, whatever. Let them fucking duke it out over there without us. I agree with Ron Paul, and that's it. I don't want to be over there no more. I'm tired of my fucking taxes going to kill women and children. I'm tired of seeing videos of it, and I'm fucking done with it, man. I don't want to try to solve their problems. I don't want to be over there. We shouldn't be over there. These wars have been going on for thousands of years. I don't want to be over there no more.
Another problem is they're spreading into the United Kingdom. You know, they're becoming fucking problem on their own.
Well, we can't. That's the United Kingdom's problem. I mean, they've got militaries. They've got NATO. They could do whatever they want. You know, we can't fucking police the world, Crusher. I mean, it's getting ridiculous.
That's what we're doing. But if we start doing it because of religious reasons on top of it, it gets even worse. Hey, man, to this conversation, there's an excellent article in Alternet, Alternet. It's alternet.org is the webpage. But they do a lot of coverage on atheism. And they have an article in here, what atheists like Bill Maher have in common with medieval Christian crusaders. And it gives a little bit of history, and it talks just about Iraq. Iraq was really separate city-states that were pulled together under British mandate so that they could be easier to administer for oil production.
Right.
And, I mean, it's an amazing article, and it goes through and talks about how Bill Maher is just absolutely fucking wrong about wanting to go in there and kill all these people and how it's, you know, a sign of the Muslim atrocities. It is a sign of religious atrocities, but those are religious atrocities go on everywhere. I mean, it's just so shocking that it's a beheading, but when you look at the Catholic Church, man, I don't, you know, the thing is pedophilia, you know, to me is as shocking or more so than those beheadings, because those people were innocent. I mean, you had people that were over there knowing their risk, taking the risk that they knew, those journalists and whatever else, that they could be captured, they could be killed because they were in a war zone.
What about,
you know?
So that was their problem.
That was their deal. They knew that was going on. You talk about pedophilia in the Catholic Church. It's gone on maybe for, who knows, centuries, and probably still is. Tens of thousands of people that have been affected by it. I think it's way worse. And if there's any reason, where is that at? If you want to invade something, invade the churches in America.
Invade the Vatican.
Churches. We don't have to
invade
kill anybody.
Invade the Vatican.
Shut them down. Either that or start taxing them, you know. And to me, this ISIS thing, I think, is a total distraction or a reason for us. You know, they're talking about, ISIS is going back into Syria. Now we've got to go bomb Syria as a country. America's got to go bomb Syria because that's where ISIS is hiding now. You know, it's an excuse for us to get back in. We've reestablished troops in Iraq. I mean, Obama just deployed another 350. You know, we're bombing. I mean, you know, it's all of this none of this shit, none of it would be going on if we hadn't illegally invaded Iraq in the first place. No,
you certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
Probably Syria. Probably, you know, all these other countries that are totally destabilized now, all because of us illegally invading Iraq. And
yep.
This ISIS deal, everything. It's all reaction to us and what we're doing. So now it created a bunch of radical Muslims. We went in and killed their families. We killed their children. We killed the mothers. We killed, you know, we're bombing funerals. We're bombing weddings. We're drone bombing weddings. And fucking,
right.
And this is the response to it. How can you, I mean,
right.
You know, this is it. You can't blame them.
We destabilized the country. We destabilized Iraq. And then you got the Sunnis and Shiites fight over who can take over power, you know, and that's what that causes that, too. That's all
created
caused
a massive
vacuum,
and this is what
right.
you got in this vacuum. You got these radicals that we created, we armed, we supplied, came right through Syria and started taking over Iraq because we created a vacuum there and left with no real armed forces able to even defend the country. I mean, the Kurds had to fucking fight ISIS in the northern part of the country. They had to arm the Kurds just to fucking fight back the ISIS group, which no
right.
one has wanted to do forever.
Right.
You know, now we're arming the Kurds. Hey, it's
yep.
fucked up. And Iraq's going to go right back to what it was. And they're going to break that fucker up in about three or four different countries. And it ain't going to be Iraq after too much longer. Or if it is, it's going to be a way smaller country. All because of us.
Right.
Over and over.
And,
you know, that,
and you
that,
could,
to
you
me,
take
that,
away the,
that's the answer to it, man.
If we take away the
right.
political aspect of it, and we look at it, does go on to Muslims in the Islamic State that they do to each other, are we looking at... Are we taking the borders, our borders too seriously when it comes to, you know, I believe that if you have the power to help somebody get out of an oppressive situation and you do nothing, you're just as guilty as the people that continue to oppress them.
Well, we're causing
I,
it. We're not helping it. We're causing
no,
it.
No,
we're
no,
the
I'm,
root
I'm saying,
cause.
I'm saying take the political aspect out of it. I'm talking strictly what they do to each other under Sharia law. What they put their kids through, what they put their women through, where is the liberation for these people? Who is going to – is this going to continue for another 1,000, 2,000
well,
years?
That would be them,
the
though, right? Let them
we'll
do
crush
it.
It.
Let
we'll
them
crush
fight it.
It
out. Let them fucking
we'll
fight it.
It
out. It's their
the
liberation.
Children, the women can't fight
we'll
it out. The women are continuously fucking murdered
we'll
for being
it.
Raped.
Here's the thing.
Who?
That's happened in Africa. I mean, Muslims are slaughtering Christians over
all
in Africa.
Over the world.
We don't do nothing about it. It happens all over. We don't do a damn thing about it in Africa. A million people have been slaughtered over there in Uganda and all these different countries and starved to death and the warlords over there keep people from getting food and everything. We don't give a fuck about that because there's no oil involved and there's no
I
money
mean,
in it. So we don't
look
give
at
a
India.
Fuck.
Look at all the suffering in
care.
India. India's a democracy, right? The largest democracy in the world. Massive amount of suffering in there. Do we go in and take over the country because of all the suffering going on there?
Yeah, we don't do dip. As long
you know,
as we have nothing to do with money
I mean,
or oil, we don't
I
care.
Agree. There's nothing.
It's everywhere. You can't
that's,
do it, man. It, you get, I mean, what you can do is you can help the country overall in the area, but it, you start getting involved in the particulars, and
that's
fucked up, man.
Up.
You start getting
it
involved
is,
in the you know you're downtrodden to the women here. To, well, fuck, you could say that about here, man. They're, you know, they're curbing abortion rights in America.
Exactly.
You know, on and on and on, man.
That's the
voting
problem
rights,
with the American government. We don't want
to
get involved unless there's something in it for us. That's what I'm saying needs to stop. We actually need to genuinely help people that need it without going in there and doing all the wrong things to get what we want out of it. That's where I'm agreeing, you know, with you guys on that. I'm talking genuinely from the heart.
I just think that suffering's going
to
be there either way. I mean, you look at, you know, India is a good example again. It's mainly a Hindu and Buddhist country, which are, for the most part, nonviolent, although they have been fighting, you know, the Muslims in Kashmir for years. But for the most part, they're somewhat nonviolent, although you can't say that always. But there's still a massive amount of suffering there. I mean, what do we get? What do we do there? There's a massive amount of suffering in Africa, man. There's a massive amount of suffering in Pakistan and Bangladesh and
you know what the best thing we do is? The best thing we do is take care of home. Get self-sufficient.
Got to start here first.
Get self-sufficient here on our energy policies. Don't rely on other countries for energy anymore. Do it here. Take care of us. Take care of our civil rights here. Take care of us here. Let's eradicate fucking crazy religious rhetoric and faith out of government here. Let's get our shit straight here. Let's become a great secular nation here based upon the fucking, you know, the Constitution and what the founding fathers wanted, which was, you know, freedom from religion and fucking having total freedom. Let's get that here. And then once we get our shit straight, we're not in debt anymore, and we're not fucking, you know, maybe we can help somebody else, but we got to do it here first, man. We got to quit fucking, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. We're spread so thin, it's insane.
I mean, you know we got some radicals in this country, and Bill Maher and the fucking guy from Duck Dynasty are agreeing with each other about what to do with ISIS. They're basically agreeing with each other. So there's some radicalism on both the right and left. That's a serious problem. Serious problem. That's the problem. So we got it right here in this country. And again, we're the ones that have the power to do something about it. And what we're doing is killing them. We're going over and invading those countries and killing them.
And that's what politics and religion does. It really shows the capability we have as humans to be the sorriest, you know, living things on this planet.
But it's not really, just religion, man. That's the problem. Is it's not only religion. It's our fucking foreign policy. It's our fucking foreign policy causing that.
It's our politics,
you know?
And religion.
But
they
use religion to get us into that point where we accept this stuff.
To justify. I agree.
You can't even separate politics from religion anymore.
But look at Bill Maher, man. Look at Bill Maher. He's not using religion to justify. He's using, well, maybe he is. He's using the Muslim religion. Bill Maher talks about racial profiling through airports. If you're a Muslim, you get hauled aside. He's all about racist policies when it comes to religion.
Right.
You know? And it's not that he's advocating religion. You know, obviously he's an atheist and he's against it, but he's all about racist policy. And he's really racist when it comes to Muslims. Really racist.
Right,
so
yeah.
You watch him, man, that's all he's about. It's amazing how bonded together Bill Maher and the fucking guy from Duck Dynasty is.
How can you be racist to something that you can convert or deconvert from?
He wants to kill him. He doesn't care. He wants us to go over and invade
Muslim
countries, take them over, kill as many of the Muslims as possible because of their religion.
I don't think that's a race. That's not a race factor, though.
Well, you can be any race and be Muslim. How many white Muslims are there in the world? Not many.
Yeah.
There are some, but not many.
Right.
When you're talking Muslim, you're talking brown and black skin people.
I think if the Christians were doing the same thing, he'd be saying the same thing.
We are. That's just what we got done saying. We're all over the fucking world bombing people, using religion as a justification for it, and he's not.
We're not all over the world killing people.
Bill Maher cheers on
Obama's droning campaign. He cheers on. He said, I actually heard him. I'm going to quote him. This is a quote. He says, I think Obama, I goes, I like the droning campaign. I'd rather have drones over there than boots on the ground. He said, I think we should be droning strikes more. He should do it a lot more.
Yep.
That's what he said. I actually watched the show when he said that. That was last spring, I think he said that.
Yep.
I was like, man, this motherfucker's bloodthirsty. I was like, holy shit.
He is, man.
You know?
And it's about the Muslims. And when you look at the Muslims, he may in his mind be like, oh, it's just about religion. It's just about one specific religion that they're so much more violent and there's so much. But then where is it with him? How come he's not covering us? You know, he's all about the drone bombs, but a reporter gets beheaded, and he's all up in arms, and we got to go over and invade wherever we got to invade to go kill more Muslims.
Yeah, he's not – Bill Maher's not ordering drone strikes on Billy Graham Ministries or anything. I mean,
right.
It's just, you know.
There you go.
You know,
that's a good,
he's like,
perfect
get him over there, get him over there, but over here in America we'll just make fun of the Christians, but over there we'll kill them. Over there we'll kill them, but over here we'll just make fun of them.
The brown and black skin we kill, the white skin we make fun of.
The Christians are.
That's his philosophy.
The Christians are as extreme as the
Muslims. Oh, come on now, man. Our foreign policy is as extreme as it gets. We're all over the world killing people all over the world, dude. All over the world we're killing people. Innocent people.
We're not bombing them with Bibles.
And if we're
bombs, I wish we were bombing them with
Bibles, dude. They prefer Bibles. I mean, you know, they'd be dancing in the streets if we were throwing Bibles at them.
We're not killing in the name of the Judeo-Christian God, though.
Sure we are. We justify it with that.
We justify it. How many times have you been to a sporting event and you see everybody stand up as we sing the national anthem and we have the color guard come out and we're going to bring these injured soldiers out and everybody goes crazy, USA, 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 and it's like fucking Nuremberg or, you know, I feel like I'm back in like 39 in Germany, you know, I'm like, kill him, let's get the fucking Arabs. You know, you got these fucking beard up, liquored up
Christians,
fucking
I think we're more,
way more
radical than Muslims, man.
Everyday Christians out of the political level, on a civilian level in America, are not going around cutting people's heads off and doing the things that Muslims do on a daily basis.
You know what we do? Crusher, we're a bunch of chicken shit. We pay for it with our taxes. And then we support our troops, and we wave fucking flags, and we cheer when the dipshit says we won, we got the victory, and we believe our fucking leaders that lie to us, and we don't question
mission
anything.
Mission accomplished.
That's why I don't understand. Mission accomplished. That's why I don't understand why atheists will not believe religion. They don't believe the biggest conspiracy ever propagated on people of the world, which is religion. But they won't. But they fucking believe the government, hook, line, and sinker, everything they tell you. It's all bullshit, man.
Which is really a larger organization than religion nowadays. Government is especially the U.S. government, is far larger and more influential organization than religion is at this point. I'm not saying either of them are good. I mean, they use one to play off the other. They use religion to play off the government and government to play off religion, especially when it comes to foreign policy.
I'm not one of the atheists that believe the government hook, line, and sinker. I definitely
you've got to look at Ferguson to see there's something wrong, you know?
Right.
I mean, and that foreign policy is starting to bleed into internal policy.
Civilian life.
Right. It's starting to bleed into our everyday life now. And, man, it's just got to stop. There's radicals, and there will be all over the world. There always have been, always will be. And at some point, man, you just got to let those fucking people work it out themselves. If they get pissed enough, if they do enough about it, then they need to fucking rise up and fight what's going on in their country, in their region, in their country.
Not when it's male dominated and every single one of them are all in the same religion.
Hey, Crusher, here's the thing you don't understand too about Islam in the Middle East in the Arab countries over there. Not 100% of women are against Islam over there. There is a large percentage of women that look at our women that don't dress totally covered with their face covered. They say they're whores, and they're causing men to stumble, and they look upon our women as, like, prostitute whores. and they agree with their religion.
A lot of women over there are their minds fucked?
Yes, their minds are fucked up, and they're being abused. They are being abused, but they don't realize it, and they're for the religion. They're for the men.
Yes.
They're for being dominated. They like it.
But
a radical Christian.
But I think my point was, if Bill Maher saw Christians abroad doing the things that the Muslims do over there, he would probably say the same thing. But Christianity is much more relaxed until it gets to the political level, and that's where I'm agreeing with you guys. Okay, yeah, it probably is, you know, under the breath done, you know, behind, you know, the Christian mentality.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of there with you on that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. He's
definitely duplicitous, man. Maher is, when it comes to that, you know, Drone Bomber, but he gets pissed off at a guy being beheaded. And those drone bombs have been documented to be landing in weddings and funerals. I mean, it's fucked up. And that's where ISIS is coming from. They're pissed off, man. Those people are pissed off, and we're arming them. You know, first we arm them to fight Assad, and then they said, fuck that, we can take over our own country.
Yeah,
and that's what they're trying to do now.
I've been against the drone bombing since day one.
Crusher, DB, I could not, and you've seen it, DB, I could not highly recommend a documentary enough as that Dirty Wars.
Yeah.
Crusher, if you get a chance to watch that on
Netflix,
Dirty Wars is the best documentary that shows our foreign policy in the Middle East. If you ever get a chance to watch that, watch that.
Tells you how extensive. I mean, we've got these JSOC units, these secret special units, and they're all over the world, man. They're doing thousands of operations everywhere. And they're doing exactly that. They're breaking into people's homes, shooting them. Shooting women, shooting children. There may be one target in the house that they're going for. They kill everybody, whoever they see, and then they leave.
About that documentary, is there anything else outside of that supports what they're saying in the documentary? Because they've made documentaries about mermaids, too.
Yeah, well, watch it. You got to see it. I mean, he goes up into the mountains in Afghanistan, where he was warned never to do that. Jeremy Scahill, who wrote about it. Jeremy Scahill, highly, highly prominent journalist. He wrote about Blackwater also. But he wrote, it's his movie, Dirty Wars. You watch it. It's an amazing movie.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this one up and call it another episode.
Man, I'll be sure to be on time next week, man. I'm getting
right. Yeah, motherfucker. thanks for calling in, and thanks for saving me, Crusher. I really appreciate it, man.
Good show.
Yeah, we had his lame ass, he's an hour late, but all right, man, well, that's another one, and we'll fucking whack it, stack it.
All right,
guys.
Mr. Fish.
Call this one out.
Adios.
Mr. Fish.
See y'all next week.
See you next week, Crusher. Old DB.
Where's
the fish?
Voices cutting away.
and have a brave fight, fight, fight. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your shame. Down the field,